So here we are, and the system is broke. American dream has gone up in smoke. So stop sitting there all brokenhearted. Let's get this motherfucking party started. Lady Liberty is ringing a bell, and we're driving us straight into hell. But don't worry, we got what you need. Crank up the volume till your eardrums bleed. Go and make America, America again.
Welcome everyone to the A Better Way to A podcast. We are your hosts, Jordan, and Tally is here again. Andrew's life is chaos, as always, and we are fortunate enough to have someone as awesome as Tally to step in when needed. And today, we are here with Emily from Princess and the Pistol, who we've been following for a little while. We've been following you since you were at like 6,000 followers on Twitter, I think. Twitter or Instagram, I forget which one. And now you're significantly more popular. I like that you have been posting outfits of the day for people, because that is something that I've always wanted to get people to do for A Better Way to A. As a man, women are not a demographic that I'm used to reaching, and I don't look great in women's clothes. So it's really hard for me to show women like that you can dress practically and carry a gun.
Don't sell yourself short, Jordan. I'm sure you
look great. I don't know. I'm sure you could find the right style.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the faith you have in me. I barely able to dress myself as a man. So I really doubt that I could do anything anything that would flatter my figure dressing as a woman. But I appreciate it.
We'll have to try. The next time we see each other.
Listen, I'll try anything once.
Get some pitch together.
Write that on my grave. He tried everything once. Well, never. Maybe not.
And slayed.
Slay. Well, Emily, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We were supposed to run into you in SHOT Show. It did not happen because was that your first SHOT Show experience?
It was.
It is chaos. It is absolute chaos. I'm sure you realized. We went into it with a plan this year, and still we were just like golden retrievers every day, trying to get stuff done. Tally was like our scout leader. And Kenny, if you're listening to this, I'll give you a ton of credit for trying to hold the group together. But when you have people like Andrew and I in the group, you know, taking control of the helm, there is little that people of sound mind can do to redirect the ship. But what was your experience with SHOT Show and everything, how that went?
It was really cool. I kind of knew a little bit of what to expect, because literally everyone I knew who knew I was going was like warning me. They're like, super overwhelming. You're going to get sick, which I did. Like, you're not going to see everything, which is mostly true. Although I did see everything I like really wanted to see. So I was really happy about that.
Awesome.
So I had a lot of warnings, but it was a really cool experience. I liked getting to go and see everything and meet all the people and just like network and stuff. I actually didn't end up getting to do like any touristy things because I got sick. And the day I was going to do that, I was just like in bed all day. So
no.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'll save those for next year.
That's good. Yeah, it's always nice to have a plan for next year. And, you know, that way you can not see the same things again and you know, make it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Out of the stuff that you saw at SHOT Show, what were the ones that you were really looking forward to before you went in?
Oh gosh, let's see. Well, I didn't really have, there were just like booths I wanted to meet people, accounts that like follow me on like social media, like Walfare and stuff. Like I wanted to stop by and see them and see what they got going on. I mostly was just looking forward to getting to see all the people that I see like online, but not always like in person. So it was really cool to like go and actually get to meet the people that I've spoken to from the different companies and fake fans and probably all infect each other and whatnot.
Yeah, I saw you bumped into Andrew at the industry range day. He sent us a picture with you. He's lovable. He's the other half of the A Better Way to A page. I gotta stop saying that because it's more than just him and I now.
It's kind of grown. It's getting bigger.
He's the other 50%. Tally's another 50%. Kenny's another 50%. And
none of us know how to do math.
None of us know how to do math. Exactly. Okay,
it's not my strong suit either.
So one of my first impressions with you was that, and Tal, you can, if you've got a better way to say this, or we've had our conversations about like being a woman in the gun sphere before. One of my first impressions with you was that you're not a gun bunny. And I no disrespect to gun bunnies, like get your bag, you know, do what you want to do. That's awesome. But you are a person that I would see walking around who is like, I'm unaware that you have a gun. Like most gun owners, you're a regular person. And
imagine getting got by a cutie patootie.
I know. It's a whole thing. And I was like, wow, this is refreshing. You know, because social media and the algorithm, and especially the gun community, I think is really catered to, unfortunately, like serve men. And some people will probably disagree with that. And I don't mean that in like a negative way necessarily to like, you know, guys were all disgusting, but like sex sells. That's why gun bunnies are popular. And I would say that the attractive female aesthetic in, you know, it's like, think of Lara Croft. Lara Croft was designed with the very specific pixel placement in back in the day for a reason. And to me, like with the ever-changing gun community and with the diversity coming into it, it makes way more sense for me to see people that are more representative of the majority of gun owners rise up and actually be popular, which it seems like you are. People seem to resonate with what you're doing. What made you decide, like, I'm going to make this a thing? Like, I'm going to make this an internet thing. I'm going to take this to the public and do something with what I just naturally do.
So I started back in, I think, like 2021. When I first turned 21, I didn't see a lot of people out there making content for people like me. I was just getting into my style as an adult after being a big tomboy as a teenager. And I was like, well, I want to be able to protect myself, but I don't want to have to like dress like a man now and have to give all that up. And so I started just like trying to figure it out and like researching holsters. And like a lot of what I was seeing was like just this garbage. Like I saw like strips of lace that were advertised to women as a holster. Like it said, just wrap it around your leg and then wrap it around the gun and it's safe. And people were actually like talking about like it was an actual option. And I was like, that's not safe and I'm not going to do that. And it was just really hard I did eventually find good holsters and stuff and figure out how to best conceal carry, but I had to like do a ton of research for it. And so I decided to start sharing my journey and how I was carrying in different outfits and just in hopes that other people would see it and see the holsters I use and realize that if there are other options and they don't have to dress like a man, not that there's anything wrong with that, but they don't have to in order to carry a gun. I mean, I dress like a man half the time because I'm lazy, but we don't talk about that because I don't post all that.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I think that's. I'm happy that it's resonated with people because clearly there is a need for more representation like that. Tally and I have had conversations in the past and you know, as recently as SHOT Show about how there's not a ton of information out there for women who don't want like all the extra stuff. Like like I said, there's a ton of gun bunnies out there, which is great. But for people new to shooting, for people who just want to know like, hey, well, like where can I go? Like what's the best kind of thing that I can get for my style right now? I'm not going to go and start wearing leather pants out at the range and you know, carrying open on my hip. Cause like a lot of these very prominent women in the gun community have the luxury of working in the firearms industry, being surrounded by other people in the firearms industry. So, you know, like concealed carry and outfits that are, you know, you wear to look good, but also to be comfortable, are not like the mainstream content that you see on social media. It's like, you know, this, I want this video to go viral, so I'm going to wear like my leather pants and a sports bra. And like most women don't walk outside like that. And it's cool if you do, but like, it's awesome to see. I don't know where you go shopping, but like, for me, like, I like being able to buy a shirt from Old Navy at like a specific size and know it's going to fit with like an appendix carry, and not have to go and shop for a shirt that's three sizes too big because I'm carrying on my hip or something like that. And but there's tons of stuff out there for men. There's not a lot for women. So I'm glad that it's being received well for the most part by people on the internet.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool because you see a lot of like the tactical gun girls, and then you'll see the other end, which is like the bunnies or whatever. And then there's just not always a lot of people in the middle who are just the average person going about their lives and just trying to protect themselves. So yeah. I'm trying to just exist and be safe. So
speaking of online acceptance and whatnot, the one thing that I've noticed, like not so much recently, and it's been a while since I've creeped on your Twitter, but a few weeks ago before SHOT Show, I remember there just being a storm of hate from people on the internet, just completely unprovoked by the things in response to the things you were posting, which was for the most part just a picture of yourself in a mirror carrying a gun in a regular outfit. And some
Christmas
of these
pictures, even just
Christmas
like, just
pictures,
living your like normal life, posting on social media like you do. I like put it in our group chat because I was like, "What is going on?" Because I think you just recently got Twitter, or like have been like more active on it.
Yeah, I've only had Twitter since either like the beginning of November or end of October. So yeah, I haven't been on it very long, but it was definitely a trial by fire joining it.
I'm sure.
So I started following you on TikTok actually before I got, I don't know which way Jordan is, but before I actually really got involved with the A Better Way to A crowd. And it's definitely something that like resonated with me because it's like, okay, cool, motorcycles. But it was actually, you were going to the bookstore and you were like your daily carry, and like you were like, okay, books, like concealed carry, going out on the motorcycle. I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is such like very, very wholesome, very unique content that like I haven't seen as a woman. That's like we have been discussing, is something that's like very much missing from the gun space. But I feel like when I saw you join Twitter, I like immediately followed you and was like, oh, like this is great. And then what I saw was just like the most insane like vitriol for just like existing. Have you like encountered that in like any other space, or do you think that that's like more like Twitter specific?
I don't think it's Twitter specific. I think Twitter makes it really easy for a lot of people to do it like all at once because of the like communication style of the platform. And I think it makes it easy for like a lot of people to see it. Every time I go viral on a platform, there's always a wave of mean people and nice people. But I think Twitter is just the type of platform it is. More people see it when people are being mean, because like they'll retweet it and say their things, and then people who follow you sometimes see that, and then it just I think that just the way the platform's set up, I've definitely experienced that on every platform. Anytime I've gone viral, it's just it's just a different how their communication style vary, I suppose.
It's weird because hate and negativity on the internet is nothing new. But to me, it's just, you know, like we've said before, we want to make the gun community better. We want to make it more chill for everyone. And I feel like that's the perfect example of why that needs to be done. And I realize like some people are kidding. Some people are doing it to be funny and to be edgy and whatnot. But when you have 27,000 followers and that many people see it, and that many people, you have a significant portion of people retweet things, it could probably feel overwhelming at times, even if you know in the back of your head, like this is the internet, this is not indicative of like representative of the majority of people. It's still got to suck occasionally, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think so with Twitter, this is the most viral I've ever been for sure. I had that one for post that went like, I just on my page alone had over 26 million views. And then it was like all over Facebook and Instagram and all the meme accounts. And I honestly, I think it was a good thing I waited to get onto Twitter X, because when I first started doing this, I actually like took a year long break at one point because people were being really hateful, and I was several years younger, and it was very overwhelming to me. But I've reached the point in my life where that doesn't bother me anymore, and I don't let that stuff get to me. But I think it's probably for the best that I waited to join a platform as explosive as X can be, just so that I was more mentally prepared for that, because no one's brains are wired to intercept that much hate and that much, and even that much like approval, like to just get millions of people all at once telling you, oh my gosh, I love you or I hate you. Like, we're not really meant to do that. So I think it's probably for the best I waited for that. I think where I am in life now is probably a good point. So
that's awesome.
I had a friend that kind of described it as like, so like if you have something that gets like 30 likes, for example, that's essentially like someone coming up to you, like 30 people coming up to you and telling you like, wow, your outfit looks great. And then like, if you increase that, like continuously, it's like, if 1,000 people come up to you in a day and tell you that your outfit looks great, like that's insane. Like it starts to get like too much. So
absolutely. And then like, I used to look up, so there's like a website where it shows like how much a stadium of this many people looks like. And I remember like looking up, like, I think my TikTok following is like a little over 100,000. So I looked up like, oh, what does 100,000 people look like? And I was like,
oh my god, 100,000 people in the same room is wild.
Like, 50 that's a lot of people
in the same room is wild.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And I think it's neat that you have that kind of perspective now, that you're able to kind of separate the good from the bad, and even the good from the really good, obviously, and you know, take that for what it is, because it seems like you have a pretty healthy grasp on dealing with that amount of people. I wouldn't, like, I commend you. I know how my brain works, and I'm like constantly seeking approval. I know the second somebody's mean to me, I'm going to go and throw my laptop across the room. Kidding. I would have gone through multiple laptops by now, but yeah, no, I think that's a really healthy mindset to have, that you knew that you needed to take a break and come back at a later time. I don't think many people have that. And I think that really hurts people when they, instead of realizing like, hey, okay, this is too much, I need to take a break, they become consumed by it. Yeah, exactly. Post through it. Yeah. And they're like, that's not, no, like if something's bad, if something's like giving you bad vibes in person, you're going to walk away. You know, if somebody's coming up to you and is like screaming in your ear and calling you all these bad names, or following you around and obsessing over you, either way, you're going to be like, please stop.
Yeah.
maybe not so nicely, but it's
that's why she has a gun.
That's why you have a gun.
Yeah. Oh, keep yourself out, dude.
But like, it's weird that we have this disconnect with the internet where we just feel like we are obligated to be part of it all the time. And it's got to be part of our lives all the time, when it's not. I know it's more complicated than this, but I remember seeing this meme. It was like, bro, what the fuck's up with cyberbullying? Like, just walk away from the computer. Duh.
Tyler the Creator.
Is that classic. Tyler Creator?
Yeah. It's like a tweet of his from like 2012 or 2011. But I refer to that all the time of just like, just walk away, man. Like, just it's walk not, away. It's not worth it. I see a lot of people a lot of friends that like get into like arguments on the internet about stuff, and they just like keep going, and I'm just like, what is this doing for you? Because I mean, I get it sometimes, like, you know, like kind of like let it out or whatever, but it's not particularly healthy.
A lot of times I'll just like, especially on Twitter, if I'm in a silly goofy mood, I'll just like throw them to the wolves. I'll just quote their tweet and then say something about how nice they are, then all of a sudden everyone rushes and attacks them, and I'm just sitting here like,
oh yeah,
that's awesome,
like, do my dirty work for me, and I'll watch and be amused.
Oh yeah, I'll dunk on anybody in the QRTs, like, We're yeah, no, it's
the QR.
It's an interesting platform, that's for sure.
It's funny because our page is a little, so you have to be following our page in order to comment on it. Twitter, not so much, but you know, in a good way and in a bad way, I don't think most of the stuff that we've posted has ever gone viral, not in the way that your stuff has. So occasionally we get people that come in and, you know, have views that don't align with ours, and we're able to take the time to respond to them appropriately. If they're, as long as they're not being, you know, bigoted or harassing people or anything like that, you know, I'll take a minute to be like, hey, like, I appreciate your perspective, but like, I think you took it out of context and yada, yada, yada. But yeah, the stuff that people were saying about your stuff, that's absolutely valid. You just retweet it and be like, get these guys.
Yeah, my little throw them to the wolves thing isn't productive. But I don't do it to conversations that would be productive. I just exactly. do it to people who are mean.
I think you might have been in the car, Tally, when we were talking about this in Vegas. But we have this person who I hate blocking yeah. people. So I try not to block people when I can help it. And we have this person who just every now and then, they have like 30 followers. Nothing they repost of ours ever is like means anything to us. But I keep them around because occasionally when I have the energy, I'll just like I'll talk to him and I'll ask him questions like, why? Like, what are you talking about? And because he'll post the most ridiculous stuff. And this is one person, mind you. I don't know what it is. It's like a pet fish that I have. And I feel bad saying that, but it's I don't know how else to describe it because I feel like I'm going to eventually save this dude. Like he's going to come around, but he'll post the most ridiculous homophobic, like I'm not even gay, but he'll be like, oh, typical, a better way to gay follower. And it's like the most ridiculous meme that I've ever seen. And I posted something about how like something was fascist in, I forget what it was, but he said, define fascism to me. And I said, no. And I said, you can do that. You can Google that.
And expound on that. No. Very David yeah. Lynch moment.
No. and he's like, are you saying you can't do that? And I said, no, I'm saying I won't do that. It's not worth my time. And I feel like that is like a separation that people need to have. I do too. I'm not good at it all the time. I have like, you know, Tally and our friends would be like, why are you entertaining this? Just block and move on.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And pack it up, keep it moving.
That's it. But part of me thinks that like all people are, I mean, I think all people are inherently good and want to help others. They just think that what they're doing is helping people. And some people are just severely misled. And the things that they believe are dangerous. Like I do believe that. But I think most people think that what they're doing is going to help people. And they think that they are fighting evil or whatever. I think it's a cop out. But I think most people believe that. So
I digress. Feel like you never know if the more you're just like treating this person who's acting like a jerk like a person and asking them to clarify and talk to them, you never know, you could get through to them. It happens. It's not unheard of.
I probably absolutely. Won't with this guy, but you're absolutely right.
That's kind of like the biggest thing about like any kind of like platform and things like that. I remember when I was younger, like I used to be like really shouty about like certain beliefs I held, or like I felt like that was like the best way to communicate, because like you're very like, especially when you're young, you're like really angry about things, right? Like you have like so much like pent up because you're like finally an adult and you're like you know. But as I've like gotten older, and I think one of the reasons that like we have such a good friendship is because when you start like asking people questions instead of providing people answers, you find that like we have a lot more in common and there is a lot more of a middle ground. And even though we don't necessarily agree on every little thing, like I think that, you know, all of us here like want the world to be a good, kind place where we can help each other. I think at the end of the day, like that's what's really important, is like trying to kind of like differentiate, like you were saying, Emily, about like the conversations that are worth having and like being able to like give a little bit of time to those things versus like someone who is coming out of things just way out of left field and is like actively trying to cause harm.
People who are well-intentioned versus just wild schizo posting.
So when you got to SHOT Show, just to get back to your experience a little bit, when you got to SHOT Show, other than like being able to eat, oh my God, meet internet friends, which I definitely like, obviously, like meeting Jordan, like I have like been, you know, on the internet for a while. I've gotten to like meet a bunch of mutuals and that's really cool. But like, other than that, like what were some things that were like real standouts to you and like experiences that you got to have?
Well, an experience I didn't expect was how many people would know who I was. That was really weird. I had a bunch of people take pictures with me because they knew who I was, and I didn't expect that to happen. Like, I went to see Lena Michalik, and
I saw that.
And there was a person over there, and before I was talking to Lena, she was like, "Hey, would you stick around? And would you take a photo with me and Lena? Because I want both of you in it." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "Me? I'm not anybody." I mean, but like, it was just really kind of cool because, you know, a lot of the stuff on the internet, it's not always positive. So it was cool to meet people who knew and recognized and thought what I was doing was making a difference. And that was really this was my first industry event, so I'd never like experienced that. So that was really cool. What else? The range day was really cool. I'm always down to shoot other people's ammo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
I really enjoyed that. I definitely met a couple people who were like helping with the booth, who were like, "Oh, well, here you go. Have you ever shot this style of gun before?" And I was like, "Yes." And they're like, "Okay." And I was like, "Okay." And so I was,
because you weren't dressed in OD green and like
and my little purple scarf.
No, Jordan, it's because she's a woman. Let's be honest.
Oh, maybe.
It's
maybe
because she's a woman. Because the same thing happened to me. Like when we walked up to that first, not the Kel-Tec booth, the one with the braces. I hate to be, because I never want to assume that people's intentions are bad, but that's something that is inherent within this industry. And I don't think that anyone's intentions are necessarily bad, but being in industries and doing activities, riding motorcycles, shooting guns, like those sorts of things. I like grew up like snowboarding and doing that sort of stuff. Like grew up around hardcore music and skateboarding. It's like when you are around these things that are inherently and very publicly masculine activities, there isn't like, that's why what you are doing and what I like hope to do is so important. Because when I looked around when I was growing up and doing these things, I saw plenty of women. But the only thing that was like publicly, outwardly focused was like very masculine. And so that's kind of what you run into is like someone, even if you are someone who is prominent, if you're giving recommendations, I see so many times that like men will immediately try and like correct you and things like that. So I definitely experienced what you're talking about. So
I think you're wrong.
And I...
Okay, white man. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that was a joke. Sorry. That was too much. Continue. Let me just turn my camera off for a second.
I can't laugh when I'm sick or I will just start having a coughing fit. Jordan, sorry, you're canceled now.
I've been canceled before. Well, you know.
I think the gun industry is definitely and has always been really male dominated, but I think it's been changing for the better in the last few years. I went into SHOT Show not knowing what to expect because it's as a woman in this type of industry, it is definitely, you can get a really mixed bag sometimes, but I definitely would say I had an overwhelmingly positive experience. The majority of the like companies I talked to were really like really understanding how much of a target audience women need to be and just like the average woman. And there was definitely more good than bad. There were, you know, the occasional, "Oh, here, let me hand you a rifle," and then look at you skeptically because you're wearing a skirt kind of interactions, but it was overwhelmingly positive for sure. But I definitely, my outfit choices for this event were very specifically chosen because I didn't want to work with a company if I was going to. I purposely dressed the way I did this for SHOT Show because I wanted to know people and how they would look at me, like, right off the bat. I didn't want to, like, show up in my cargo pants trying to match everyone else who was there. And then people would be like, oh, yeah, sure, you're cool. And then I make content in a dress, and they're like, oh, well,
not what I expected.
I don't know about you now. I was like, I wanted to know what they thought of me, like, right off the bat. Like, this is me. I'm going to dress like this. And it worked. Like, the companies that were really awesome to me, I was like, great, I want to work with you. The ones I walked in and immediately got, like, looks, and they would shut down any conversation I tried to have with them. I was like, good, I don't want to work with you. That's, like, how you view this. And
that's awesome. Yeah.
You were talking about just kind of, like, the amount of research that, like, went into, like, finding the holsters that you use for, like, your everyday wear. Do you find that you, like, stick mainly to, like, one? I think I've seen the Enigma, I want to say.
Yeah, the Enigma.
Yeah. Do you stick mostly to that one just because of its versatility? Or, like, do you have other holsters that you enjoy as well?
So, well, this is actually kind of funny. I always said I didn't want to be that person that had, like, a box full of holsters that they never used. And then I became that person because people kept sending me holsters asking me to see if I liked them. And I don't like most of them, and I always feel bad about that. But so now I have a box of holsters that I never use. So I primarily use, like, 3 holsters. More often than not, I'm using the Filster Enigma, which is the one that's the chassis system for appendix carry. Because it is so versatile, I can wear it with most things. And so it's just easy to not have to switch holsters all the time. And then I also have a thigh holster that's built into a pair of spandex shorts. But I use the word holster liberally here because it's more of a pocket and it doesn't have Kydex in it. So I got a Kydex trigger guard that I sewed the paracord into the pocket, and so then it could have that protective trigger guard while in there.
That's so cool. I just love that you were like, this is not the way that I want it. I'm going to buy the thing and then sew it in.
Well, it comes with, like, a stiff piece, like, in between that's supposed to protect the trigger guard, but it's, like, not molded to it. So, like, if you were to reach in to grab your gun, you could accidentally pull the trigger. I mean, but I was like, I feel like this should be safer. And so that's something I'll use. And then I just have, like, a regular Kydex holster. I think it's from maybe Bravo Concealment. That's inside the waistband holster that I'll throw on if I'm super lazy and dressed like a man. So
that works. Yeah, the Enigma is something that I've always wanted to experiment with, but I don't know why I would need it necessarily, because I have a Filster floodlight that I use. Big fan of Filster, but I appendix carry that, and I wear jeans all the time. Jeans, like, you know, Lee pants. I'm just a dude, just a chill guy. Just a chill guy. That was a meme that came and went before I got a chance to understand what it was, but I just say it now.
He's literally just a chill guy.
Like, I just felt like I was too old for it. I was like, I'm not gonna follow this one. First time that's ever happened, but that's a story for my therapist. I've never had an opportunity to, like, really mess with the Enigma because I don't wear sweatpants out. Like, I don't wear dresses. I don't wear, you know, stuff like that. Like, I like that you found something that works for the majority of your outfits, because I feel like, you know, the only thing that I've ever had to really suggest to women who want to carry in their regular clothes is off-body carry, which is not optimal. for a multitude of reasons. You know, if you carry in a purse or in a backpack or something like that, or in a fanny pack, which is probably the best way to do it because it's actually secured to you. There's always, there's just, you don't have the advantages that you do with it on your person. You know, you can get it taken from you.
I haven't tried them yet, but I've actually been seeing some of those like crossbody fanny pack bags coming out recently that are that look like they could be relatively viable options. I'd have to try them, of course, but like it's almost a form of on-body carry at that point with that style of bag, just because you don't take it off.
It's
something I'm interested in trying out just for the people who aren't going to put it on them necessarily, but I've seen some cool ones I think that could have potential, so we'll see.
Yeah,
as long as there's no magnets in them.
No magnets.
We saw one at SHOT Show, and it was, I mean, it looked like it was working all right, but I would be so worried about someone who has like maybe like a pacemaker, or like if like for some reason it was like able to like come out and be like, oh no.
Well, it was funny because it was marketed as like a quick draw crossbody thing. And Andrew was like, all right, now shake it like you really mean it. And he shook it and the gun fell out. And we were like, oh, okay.
I think I've seen that one. Is that the like really big one that's like,
yeah, it's like right on the chest, and then you like pull down.
I hadn't done any research into that one just because I didn't really like how it looked. But yeah, I could see that. Okay, interesting. Good to know.
And like, you know, and there's things for everyone. I always say like, what is best for me and what's best for you is not necessarily going to be what's best for everyone. But to me, like, there are, I personally have uncompromised, rules that a holster has to follow. One being like a hard cover for the trigger guard and retention, and those are like, I can be flexible with other things, you know, comfort, size, you know, whether or not it's where you wear it, stuff like that. But I need the trigger to be protected, and I need it to have retention, whether that's passive retention from the Kydex or like a level three holster for competition. And for me, like shaking something. So actually you would relate to this riding a motorcycle. I used to carry at my 3 o'clock, and I used to carry in a regular Kydex holster that would clip onto my belt. I rode a hardtail, so no rear suspension, and I would hit bumps and then immediately go to check to see if like it had moved. And there was one time where not the gun, but the holster clip had backed off of my belt and was like pinching my belt, was no longer clipped over it. So I started carrying my 3 o'clock holster appendix, which was super uncomfortable because it's not built for that. And I was like, I need to do something better here. And I got the Filster Enigma, and that way it was significantly less comfortable than carrying at the 3 o'clock, because my riding style, I was like this, and you know, I'm not very overweight, but I'm not very in shape either. And like when I've got a little bit of a stomach, so like over time it would get kind of uncomfortable. But I was like, if I'm going to carry on my motorcycle, that's the only way that I can carry, because that's the only way I can guarantee that my gun's not going to pop out, or I'm not going to be brandishing it to everybody, you know, behind me when my shirt flies up. Because that's a thing also. You know, I would wear a leather jacket, but I wouldn't always have it buttoned. And just that peace of mind. Like, I don't walk around with a wallet chain, but when I would ride my motorcycle, I'd have a wallet chain just like to complete the look, but actually for practical purposes, because I would, no, my wife makes fun of me because she's like, oh, Jordan's got his wallet chain on. He's a real badass.
I'm like, as she should.
Listen, it was for practical purposes, because there were multiple times where I would hit a bump, my ass would come off the seat, and I'd be like, oh shit, do I still have my wallet? So like, I believe that it had a practical purpose. Now, if you ever see me walking around with a wallet chain and I don't have my motorcycle tally, please make fun of me.
I will. I won't hesitate.
Emily, if
I
you
might
ever
do
see
it
me
even if you have it.
Yeah. Just relentlessly like, make up, fun Thor? Of me for, yeah.
Are you about to fall in love with the Rock Show? Are you, where are you?
Tally, I don't even have chain. My wallet chain. Well, you're still a dork, but that, I don't even know where I was going with that. So yeah, not everything, it works great for everybody. Everyone's got their own perfect thing. Appendix carry has worked for me. Was born out of the necessity to not lose my gun on the highway. And yeah, Filster Enigma sounds sweet. I wish I had a reason to buy one. I just don't. I haven't had one yet.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are a lot. I've had a lot of men ask me like, oh, should I get that? Should I get that system? I'm like, well, do you not wear a belt? Like, are you going around not wearing belts very often? Like, do you go out in sweatpants and joggers and shorts and stuff? I'm like, because if that's like something you do, which a lot of people do, then it might be a good option for you. But if you're wearing jeans and a belt all the time, then I mean, you can. It'll still work well, but you don't really need it necessarily. So,
what does it do? Do you like cinch it on your waist and it kind of like sits on your hips? Is that how it stays in the same place?
You can put it in different areas of the of your like waist. It just kind of stays in place for me, depending on where I put it, because of my bones and stuff. yeah, you just like.
All right, so you have to have bones for it to work.
Bones. Yep,
that is a requirement.
All right. Sorry, boneless people.
Yeah. Rip.
Filster Enigma, not for you.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's yeah. It's just cool that there's. I don't know if you had this kind of takeaway from SHOT Show, but as much as I enjoy going to SHOT Show, I feel like it's very rare that there's ever anything that's novel. That's like, wow, this is somebody put some thought into this, and this is something I've never seen before. And I feel like the Filster Enigma was something that came out where people were like, oh my God, this is an answer to a question that I didn't know that I had. Because up until that point, people were just like, well, I have to buy different clothes. That's just the way that it is. I have to buy different clothes. And I have to wear a holster that is going to work with those clothes. And now you've got this holster that makes it completely practical to carry. And I say practical because people were still carrying in sweatpants. People were still carrying in dresses. But like you said, you know, you had a lace holster that was like, you know, like you're a Bond girl, or like people would pocket carry. And there's just no reason to when you've got something like that now. And you know, I look forward to fewer videos of people accidentally NDing into their leg, getting in and out of their car because they're carrying improperly.
No, yeah. The amount of time someone will just tell me online and just get a revolver and throw it in a purse. I'm like, no.
Stop. You should just send them.
I'm good with a revolver. Don't get me wrong, but I'm doing that.
I'm all right for like having reasonable conversations with people who are just ignorant and don't know any better. But sometimes I'll just send people articles of like babies who shoot themselves by accident because they grab their mom's gun out of a purse. That's the sad reality. Like that is the incredibly unfortunate truth that we have to deal with. And when people are perpetuating this information that can be very dangerous, I think it's important to confront them with like, this is the result. This could be the result of what you're suggesting.
I went to the range recently and I like my range a lot. I don't have like a whole lot of issues with it. It's what's available to me, just being in the city. And I found that they have been incredibly helpful with a lot of the questions that I have to ask, because Maryland has like really odd gun laws. But I was at the range and it was my little sister and I, and then two other women were like the only ones like intel clothes. And they like came up to like ask me and my sister, oh, like, you know, you guys should come to She Shooters, which is like something that the range that I go to runs, which is like a women's only group that like does like instructional courses. I think that they also manage like a women's only like wear and carry class. So like, it's a really cool resource, especially like in a world that doesn't necessarily have a lot of outward resources for women. So I was like, oh yeah, like this is, you know, this is the gun that we're shooting. We were shooting my brother-in-law's gun, just like a CZ. But I was like, this is the like gun that I would like recommend for your first purchase. Cause this woman was like doing her first purchase. And I was like, oh, you know, Glock 19, it fits like super well in my hands anyway. We're like similar size. Like there's so many aftermarket parts. It's something that'll last you a long time. It's like really accessible, et cetera, et cetera. And then she walked out to like check out and she had like a whole list. She was like marking off like different like traits on everything. I was like, yes, like work. But when she like asked the guy, she was like, what's a Glock 19? And he was like, she was like, did I shoot one of those today? And he was like, well, no, like I figured you wanted something that was like smaller, like something that you could like put in your purse. And I was like, oh my God, dude. Because I mean, that is, I feel like it's still kind of like that stereotype that you're talking about is just like, oh yeah, like just get a little fucking snub nose, or I'm sorry for swearing, but you know, like that sort of thing. It's like still very prevalent in the industry. And these are things that don't necessarily happen to men.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm glad we are slowly but surely, maybe a little more slowly than surely, but moving past that where it doesn't happen quite as much, but definitely still happens. I've actually thought it would be funny to like go to a few ranges I've never been to before just to see what they try to recommend me. So I might do that.
That
sometimes.
Would be fun. That would be cool. Like a little button camera or something.
Right. I just got taken out by a mechanic, which is similar. Jordan actually helped me find someone that has like better reviews, but like I definitely had a little bit, and I was just, I have so much anxiety that I'm not going to like argue with anything. I'm just going to be like, okay, here you go. Thank you so much. I'm having a great time. Once again, like, I don't think that it ever comes out of like anything like malicious necessarily, yeah. Because that is one thing that I'll say is like the majority of the people that I shoot with are men. The majority of the people that I have been around my entire life that shoot are men. And I know that like I have had an incredible experience and very, very lucky to have like men in my life that are like super like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'd love to show you how to do this and like, let me walk you through this and let me give you like this information. But I definitely think that there is like, especially like on a sales level, like if you're going to like purchase guns, like there is still kind of like that stigma or that like understanding of like, oh, I'm not going to give you the big boy gun because like, this is what you need, little lady, you know?
And I'll let that pass sometimes too, when they're like really old and sweet and I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
There's definitely something to be said about like knowing when you can do, when your efforts will be appreciated, and knowing when you're just going to be banging your head against a brick wall. Like I had a 90 something year old neighbor who still referred, this was, I don't know, over 10 years ago. It was before I was dating my wife, who still referred to black people as colored, but she did it in a polite way. Like that was to her the proper way to call, to mention black people. And it was, I asked her, I went to her house. I said, like, Stella, how was your day? She's dead now, so I can name drop.
She's dead now, so I can talk shit.
She was like 102. I was like, Stella, how was your day? And she's like, oh, it was good. This nice colored gentleman came over and fixed my refrigerator. And I said, Stella, you can't say that. She said, what? I said, you can't call black people colored anymore. That's a racist. And she goes, I didn't call him a, and then hard R.
Stella,
I was like, Stella, no. And but like to her, that was the, she was being politically correct because she wasn't on social media, didn't watch the news. Like to her, all of her friends were dead. Like that was her being polite. So like when you, I think intent means a lot when you have somebody who is respecting you and being polite and trying to help you in a way that they know, and you also know that your input is not going to be not going to benefit anybody, then I'll shoot the 22 or whatever, but don't buy it. Like that's
not that there's anything wrong with shooting a 22 or buying a 22 or carrying
of course
a 22.
Of course totally. 22 I think. Yeah, I mean, I'd even argue that like 22 has its places for defensive rounds, but yeah, but like that's, you know, I there are some people who think that like we should just be yelling at old people and telling them how wrong they are. And it's like, I don't want their last few years on this earth to be miserable. I recognize that they have antiquated views and antiquated ways of doing things. And, you know, but like motherfucker stormed Normandy. So thanks for that.
Speaking of guns and gun recommendations, so I'm not super duper in depth with your content. I apologize. I will become more acquainted. I do, like I said, I follow you on TikTok, I follow you on Twitter, I've seen a bunch of your stuff. But do you have like long form content, like on YouTube, where you talk about like reviews or anything like that?
So that's actually something I am more recently starting to do. I just started a YouTube really recently, so it's like not even to 1,000 followers yet, but it's something I want to get more into. It's why I've been putting more effort into all of this, so I can have the time to make more like educational content and stuff like that. So that's coming.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not quite here yet.
No, I totally understand it. And long form content sometimes is like a little bit harder because like you have things that like I feel like it's so easy to like I had like a video on TikTok that got like 56,000 likes or something like that. It was the silliest thing. It was like maybe like a 30-second video about like the soup ASMR guy. And it was just like a little quip. And it's like the soup skeleton. I don't know if you've seen him at all, but like it's so easy for like these like short form like content pages to like get that. But like I definitely like YouTube is, you have to like invest a lot in like production and like make sure that it's, you know, a certain way in order for you to gain a lot of traction if you don't have like followings on other platforms. So I definitely get that. So how long have you like been involved in like firearms just in general? Like, is it something that you grew up with or?
Yeah, kind of. So my dad was given a pistol by my pop-pop when I was younger, and my dad was scared of guns. And so my dad was like, well, I have one now, so I need to know how to like handle it safely and store it safely because I have kids. And so he did. And then after he did, he was like, oh, this isn't a scary thing. This is just a tool. And anyway, so I shot my first gun when I was 9 years old, 4th of July, and I...
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was probably a .22 revolver, but I just remember it was a revolver. I still have the target somewhere. My papa signed it. And adorable. Yeah. After that, I didn't really shoot much till I was like 13, and then I took a bunch of rifle classes because my dad was filming content for them, so they let me take them for free. And then after that, I went and was working at a kids camp, and they also did marksmanship camp. So I was working at this marksmanship camp in the fall and the winter, and so I was like helping teach other kids and teenagers how to shoot and handle guns safely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and getting to shoot a lot and have a lot of fun at the same time. So I enjoyed that a lot. And I got to where I'm at now. So
yeah, absolutely. Do you have like any particular gun that's your favorite, or like what's your everyday carry look like?
Well, currently my everyday carry is the Glock 43. Before I turned 21, I was trying to decide what I wanted to buy. I went to the range. I rented like I think 4 different guns. I don't remember what they all were anymore, but I remember the Empty Shield was one of them, and the Glock and other ones I don't remember anymore. But anyway, I rented them, tried them out. The Glock is what felt best in my hand at the time, and I liked its size and everything, so I bought that. But my favorite gun I own probably has to be my AR-15 because I built it when I was 17. So I am emotionally attached to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Ammosexual confirmed.
I'm very much looking forward to building my first AR. I'm really excited about it. So I definitely get that.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I didn't even do like a drop-in trigger or anything. So I put together every little spring and screw and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, building guns is cool. I've only ever I built my AR, but it was like a drop-in thing, drop-in doohickey. And actually, I can't even say that because I bought a Colt and then I replaced everything. So like I had it and then I started replacing things. So I don't know if you'd call it a build. It wasn't. It's like buying a car and souping it up, I guess.
It's so cool though.
Yeah.
Yeah, still absolutely. Cool. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll you're still it. In there. You're in the guts of it, you know?
Yeah, I'm in there.
Do you like any kind of, like you said you were working like at a marksman camp. Do you do like any kind of like shooting competitions, like USPSA or anything like that?
I haven't. I think I would like that. It's kind of on a list of things that I might want to try later on when I have the time and the money to do so. But yeah, I think it would be something I would enjoy. I've always been a very competitive person.
Nice.
That's cool. Emily, because we already had you for another 15 minutes before we had to stop, and I know you wanted to stay close to an hour, I have two more questions for you. One,
okay.
Do you have any advice for women who want to get into shooting, or specifically get into shooting and to create content like yours?
Well, I guess I'd say if they're interested in just like getting into shooting in general, that I would definitely try and like check out your local ranges, see if they have, see what like beginner classes they have. And even if it can be an intimidating experience, especially as a woman, but if you have a friend that's interested, maybe get them to go with you. Or if you have a friend that can like show you the basics, that's even better because that's a little more chill. But as for getting into making content, gosh, I don't know. It's a lot of trial and error. There's no right way to do things, really. If you want to just share your journey and hope it helps other people, that's always a good way to start. So,
cool. And if you had an unrelated piece of advice for anybody, it could be related to guns, but I figure because I just asked you that, what would that be? Just like a little nugget to make people's life better.
Well, I guess since we kind of talked about a little earlier, like don't let what people say to you or about you, whether online or in person, influence how you live your life. Know the kind of person you want to be and be that person whether or not others approve of you.
That's awesome. Emily, you are incredibly wholesome in the best way possible. I love what you do. I think we all do. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on and doing what you do and being a sounding board for people in the gun community to, I don't know. I like what you do and I think it's cool. You're super chill. And I think your vibes are great. Your outfits are great. And you keep doing you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you to come talk to y'all. Y'all are really cool. So
sweet.
Same to you.
Yeah. I think we're pretty cool too, but some days I hate us.
It's really, like I said, it's really rewarding to know that there are other people like myself that are like coming into the gun space. And I want to let you know, from my perspective, like how appreciative I am to like be able to see that and how inspiring it is for not only myself, but definitely other people in the space. And so it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm super glad that we got to hang out.
Well, thanks. That means a lot.
Heck yeah.